91.9 WNTI.
Public radio from Centenary College,
where great music lives.
91.9 WNTI.
Ladies and gentlemen, the Beatles.
Yeah, there's Ed Sullivan introducing the Beatles. Hey, we'll get to that in early February. This is 91.9 WNTI, and this is The Cavern, an hour of all things Beatles. I'm your host, Gary Ault. Very special show this week because 2 days ago, January 20th, 2014, marked the 50th anniversary of the release of the first Beatles Capitol record, Capitol album, released in the United States, and therefore the beginning of the output of the Beatles on album form, and the beginning of Beatlemania that started a couple of weeks before that with the release of I Want to Hold Your Hand as a single. And, you know, the fact is, though, actually, just a little bit of housekeeping, there was one Beatle album released before that, just about 10 days before that. Introducing the Beatles, England's number one vocal group, was released on the VJ label, and it was very similar to the Please Please Me album, which was the first album released in the UK. Just a couple of differences here and there, but pretty much the same song list. But it didn't really go anywhere. VJ was a small market outfit based in Gary, Indiana, so they just did not have the financial muscle to really push the record, and people hadn't caught on to it yet until Capitol released I Want to Hold Your Hand on December 26th. That became number one. And a couple of days after it became number one, Meet the Beatles was released on the Capitol label as an album. So the first really smash hit Beatles album, and we're going to play that in its entirety tonight. Just a couple more housekeeping things before we get to that. I wanted to say thank you very much to Dr. Parada, and I'm really sorry that I didn't play your request last week, but I wasn't actually here, as you probably were aware, because I was getting over what you were treating me for. So we thank you very much for doing that, but we will get to your request next week, I promise you that. And just one other thing, I just want to mention that there is a trivia question this week, so get ready to call 908-852-4545 if you know the answer. 908-852-4545. And I'll tell you the question in just a second, but just to let you know, after we ask the question, we're going to play the A side of Meet the Beatles, then we're going to talk a little with Marshall Crenshaw, and then we're going to play the B side, and then we're going to talk some with Rex Fowler and Glenn Burtnick. So we have a full evening tonight. So here's the trivia question. On the day that Meet the Beatles was released, January 20th, 1964, where were the Beatles? 908-852-4545. And now, without any further ado, Meet the Beatles.
Oh, yeah, I'll tell you something. I think you'll understand. When I say that something, I want to hold your hand. Such a feeling that my love I can hide. Yeah, you got that something. I think you'll understand. When I say that something, I wanna hold your hand. It's such a feeling that my love I can hide. Yeah, you got that something. I think you understand. When I feel that something,
two, three, four. pasture. You're coming home, you're coming home. Every night the tears come down from my eyes. Every day I've done nothing but cry. It won't be long, yeah. It won't be long, yeah. It won't be long, yeah. Till I belong to you. Since you left me, I'm so alone. Now you're coming on home. I'll be good like I know I should. You're coming home.
Whenever I want you around, yeah, all I gotta do is call you on the phone and you'll come running home. Yeah, that's all I gotta do. And when kissing you, and the same goes for me. Whenever you want me at all, I'll be here, yes I will. Whenever you call, you just gotta call on me, yeah. You just gotta call on me. And when I wanna kiss you, yeah,
close your eyes and I'll kiss you. Tomorrow I'll miss you. Remember, I'll always be true. And then while I'm away, I'll write home every day and I'll send all my loving to you. I'll pretend that I'm missing the lips I and hope that my dreams will come true. And then while I'm away, I'll write home every day and I'll send all my loving to you. All my loving I will send to you. All my loving, darling, I'll be true. Close your eyes and I'll kiss you. Tomorrow I'll miss you. Remember, I'll always be true. And then while I'm away, I'll write home every day and I'll send all my loving to you. All my loving.
end of side A of Meet the Beatles. We're celebrating the 50th anniversary of the release of Meet the Beatles, the first Beatle album on the Capitol label in the U.S., and their first number one album in the United States, released 2 days ago, 50 years ago, and 2 days ago. And that was I Want to Hold Your Hand. I saw her standing there. This Boy, It Won't Be Long, All I've Got to Do, and All My Loving. And this is The Cavern. I'm your host, Gary Ault. And after the break, we are going to talk to Marshall Crenshaw.
Amy, the Rock and Roll Doctor. Tune in Saturdays at 3 p.m. for your weekly dose of my musical elixir. Each week, I feature selections from emerging bands on the jam circuit, deep tracks from years past, the Vanessa Hatuna Spotlight, and more. That's the Weekend Jam with the Rock and Roll Doctor. Saturdays beginning at 3 p.m. on 91.9 WNTI and WNTI.org, where great music lives.
Piggy's Deli, located on Route 57 at the Shops of Mansfield in Hackettstown, New Jersey. Piggy's Deli has a menu featuring soups, sandwiches, salads, and more. Piggy's also offers a variety of catering options for various events, including backyard barbecues, pig roasts, formal parties, and weddings. More information available at piggysdeli.com or by phone 908-813-3008.
Centenary Stage's January Jazz Fest is coming to a close, and we are going out with a bang with the legendary Sammy Figueroa and his Latin Jazz Explosion this Saturday, January 25th at 8 p.m. at Centenary's Lackland Center. Hello, this is Carl Walnow inviting you to come see the rapid-fire Congo playing and Latin rhythms of Sammy Figueroa. Nominated for 2 Grammy Awards, this New York-born percussionist has long been regarded as one of the premier musicians in the world. When Sammy plays percussion, he takes the listeners on a journey, amazing audiences with his flamboyant technique, versatility, and style. Tickets for Sammy Figueroa are $22.50 for adults with discounts for children. For additional information or to purchase tickets, call the box office at 908-979-0900 or order online at www.centenarystagecoach.org. Don't miss this fiery performance with Sammy Figueroa and his Latin Jazz Explosion on Saturday, January 25th at 8 p.m. at Centenary's Lackland Center.
And we're going to get back to the B-side of Meet the Beatles here on The Cavern, the 50th anniversary of the release of that Capitol record. Right now we have Marshall Crenshaw on the line. Marshall, you've had a prodigious career as a solo artist, writing, performing, and recording a lot of hit rock and roll songs. And you started as an original cast member of Beatlemania.
Yeah, well, let's back up for a second. I was not an original cast member, but by the time I got in the show, it was a hit on Broadway and was a hit in Los Angeles, and then they were starting a touring company. But I was in there, you know, when it was a new thing.
Okay. So, and I know you played John Lennon. So now going back to Meet the Beatles, of course, we're celebrating the 50th anniversary of the release of it. Were you aware of it, like right off the bat, like right in January 64?
Yeah, I was. I was 10 years old and already a rock and roll fan, already playing guitar. You know, my dad listened to the rock and roll station in the car all my life. And so, you know, it was just something that I knew about in real time right away. I usually watched the Jack Parr show. When I was a kid, I was allowed to stay up and watch it. But for some reason, I missed it the week the Beatles were on.
Oh, okay.
So I didn't see them then, but I did. I remember exactly the first time that I heard I Want to Hold Your Hand on the radio. I was in. I was with my mother. She went into the drugstore to get something. I stayed in the car and listened to the radio. And I heard it, and it just floored me. I loved it.
Yeah, it was markedly different from everything else that was on the radio at that point, it seemed to me.
The other stuff on the radio was really great, you know. Like, people, I hate it when people say that the Beatles, you know, saved rock and roll or whatever. That's complete nonsense. But, you know, it's very energetic, you know, that record. It just kind of takes you by storm, you know, the way it comes out of the... You know, that's really what it was. It just had this energy level to it that was really unique, you know?
Yeah, yeah. Yeah, I think people usually think of, you know, like Sgt. Pepper and Abbey Road as being groundbreaking records, but being that that was the first Beatle record and the kind of record it was, it seems to me that that was groundbreaking in itself. I mean, so what do you think about the, do you see that it can still have, you know, still has an impact today on musicians?
I Want to Hold Your Hand?
Yeah, just the whole album, you know, the song, the album.
Yeah, I mean, obviously the stuff has staying power. It's going to be around for all of our lifetimes and beyond.
For decades, most artists would, even groups that played music that didn't even seem to have roots in the Beatles kind of music, would claim them as an influence. It's probably a little bit less and less as time goes on.
Yeah.
As the influence kind of filters
down. They really were great. I mean, I just remember living in that world, you know, where the Beatles were functioning and walking around as a group, and I really loved it. I just, you know, you'd hear one of their new records, and it would just blow your mind every time, you know. It was really fun.
Yeah, just one more thing I want. You, of course, are a musician and a singer, and I think of primarily as a songwriter, but I guess all in one bag. How much of an impact, you know, how much of an influence did the early Beatle records have on what you've done throughout your career?
Well, really a lot. I mean, like I said before, I was already playing guitar when they came along, and I already knew rock and roll music from day one. But I just loved them, you know, and plus it wasn't just their music either. I just really dug them as people. I think they were good role models for kids at the time, because they were just really interesting people, and they weren't negative, but they were like anti, I can't use the word on the radio, but I mean, you know, they were really intelligent and really interesting and very cool.
Yeah, yeah. And you know, the remarkable thing about that album is I think all but one song, I believe, was one was Harrison, the rest were all Lennon and McCartney, and then Till There Was You. So,
oh, yeah,
you
know, I don't like Till There Was You very much, but...
Yeah, but I mean, that was unusual because, I mean, you know, it seemed like records at that time were, you know, compilation of hits and then filler, whereas it seems like every song on that album holds up.
Yeah, and you know, the other thing I really liked about it when I heard I Want to Hold Your Hand was that it was real rock and roll, you know?
Mm-hmm.
Like, by the time that record came out, there was still a lot of great rock and roll on the radio, but there was also a lot of kind of borderline stuff. It wasn't as pure as it had been, you know, earlier, as far as what was on the radio, you know. But they came along with that sound, and it wasn't compromised at all. It was just, it was nothing. It was just straightforward rock and real rock and roll, but had substance to it, you know.
Yeah. Yeah. Well, hey, we thank you very much for giving us your thoughts on the Meet the Beatles album that we're celebrating the 50th anniversary of today. Thanks a lot.
You got it, man. Thank you.
And now let's continue with the B-side of Meet the Beatles, starting with the George Harrison composition, Don't Bother Me.
Since she's been gone, I want no one to talk to me. It's not the same, but I'm to blame, it's plain to see. So go away, leave me alone, don't bother me. I can't believe that she would leave me on my own. It's just not right when every night I'm all alone. I've got no time for you right now, don't bother me. I know I'll never be the same if I don't get. Till she's here, please don't come near, just stay away. I'll let you know when she's come home until that day. Don't come around, leave me alone, don't bother me. I've got no
of time for you right now. Don't bother me. I know I'll never be the same if I don't get her back again. Because I know she'll always be the only girl for me. But till she's here, please don't come near, just stay away. I'll let you know when she's come home. Until that day, don't come around, leave me alone. Don't bother me. Don't bother me. Don't bother me.
Till there was you. Then there was music and wonderful roses. They tell me in sweet, fragrant meadows of dawn and dew. There was love all around, but I never heard it singing. No, I never heard it at all till there was you. Meadows of dawn and you. There was love all around, but I never heard it singing. No, I never heard it at all till there was you.
It feels so right to hold me tight. to hold you tight. Being here alone tonight with you, it feels so right now. Hold me tight. Tell me I'm the only one, and then I might never be the lonely one. So hold me tight, tight.
I wanna be your man, I wanna be your man, I wanna be your man, I wanna be your man.
Tell me that you love me, baby, let me understand. Tell me that you love me, baby, I wanna be your man. I wanna be your lover, baby, I wanna be your man. I wanna be your lover, baby, I wanna be your man.
I wanna be your man. I wanna be your man. I wanna be your man. I wanna be your man. Same old line. I'm wondering why
that concludes the B-side of Meet the Beatles, the first Capitol album released by the Beatles in the United States. And 2 days ago was the 50th anniversary of the release of that album. So we heard Don't Bother Me, Little Child, Till There Was You, Hold Me Tight, I Want to Be Your Man, and Not a Second Time. You're listening to The Cavern. I'm your host, Gary Ault. And after the break, we are going to speak with Rex Fowler of Aztec Two-Step fame and more recently with the Notopians. So let's take a break, and then we'll listen to Rex.
Hey, this is Matthew Houck, a.k.a. Phosphorescent, inviting you to visit E-Town this week. I'll be joined by Nick and Helen and Laura Marling and the winner of the E-Achievement Award. That's this week on E-Town.
Wednesdays at 9 p.m. right here on 91.9 WNTI and WNTI.org.
WNTI support comes from the Stanhope House, located on Main Street in Stanhope, New Jersey. The Stanhope House offers Americana food and entertainment nightly.
Coming to the Stanhope House on Saturday, January 25th, Fury Fest.
More information available at StanhopeHouseNJ.com or by phone 973-347-7777 for the Stanhope House.
So we have Rex Fowler on the line, who we know, of course, from Aztec Two-Step, and more recently has been involved with the Newtopians, which basically reimagines the various works of John Lennon. And so how you doing today, Rex?
Hey, very good. Thank you for having me. This is a real honor.
Oh, thanks. Yeah. So where were you? Do you remember, how old were you? And, well, maybe I shouldn't ask that, but where you were when you first heard the Meet the Beatles release?
Well, you know, what I really remember is the Ed Sullivan Show and mm-hmm. the build-up to that. And keep in mind that I was raised in rural Maine, mm-hmm. not exactly the media hubbub of during that time. But even up there, it was quite an event, and my friends were gathered around the black and white TV set, and just. Totally anticipating the arrival, of the Beatles. And my first recollection was hearing, I Want to Hold Your Hand. It was, She Loves You, that was the one that I first heard on the radio.
Mm-hmm.
And I loved that song, I mean, of course, there was a twist to it in that it was, I think if you call it third person, when they were talking about it was a very unique way of talking about somebody being infatuated, somebody telling someone else that they were, infatuated with a girl, as opposed to first person where they were just, thinking about girls boys, whatever. So it was very unique in that sense. And then, of course, I Want to Hold Your Hand. And those are the things that really jump out. I don't think I even owned the album. I'm not even sure we had a record player at that point. I mean, and that's another thing, the Beatles did was it made kids go out and buy, record players and, hi-fi sets.
Yeah, yeah. And I think people were starting to become, probably due to the Beatles, album buyers instead of just, obviously they bought Beatles 45s, but their albums were just, not just a couple of hits with a lot of filler. I mean, every song was vital.
Yeah, they really, they just hit it out of the park on every single song, even the cover songs, which still hold up amazingly. I mean, Mr. Postman, it may be one of the greatest covers of all time, mm-hmm. the way Lennon took that song and just ripped his heart out singing it. Of course, Twist and Shout, but on the first album, but it really was like Mr. Postman and some of really got my ear.
Mm-hmm.
Just the way he emoted, it was the honesty, the pain, the anguish, everything a teenager, is going to sink their teeth into at that age,
Yeah. Did that affect those early Lennon and McCartney compositions? Of course, they were great, but they evolved, they matured and got better and better at it. Did those earliest compositions affect your, influence your songwriting at all?
Well, in hindsight, they did. I mean, at that point, I still hadn't picked up a musical instrument. I didn't pick up a guitar until I was going into my senior year in high school in 1966.
Mm-hmm.
So I was a very late bloomer when it came to music, and like, but you know, I had an ear for it, and I loved all of the music. I mean, beginning in the backseat of my parents' car when Sinatra and those guys were on the radio, you know, my ears definitely pricked up by music, but it never occurred to me that I could ever play a guitar or an instrument or ever sing or anything like that. And as much as I loved the Rolling Stones and the golden age of rock and roll and all that stuff, it never would have inspired me to pick up an instrument and try to sing anything myself.
Mm-hmm.
So I don't know. But later, looking back, John Lennon became the most important role model and inspiration for me in terms of a songwriter.
Mm-hmm.
But like so many people of my generation and so many musicians around my age, it took Bob Dylan. It took me hearing simply by chance the plaintive sound of the guitar and voice of Bob Dylan that made me want to go out and pick up a guitar and try to play something and learn chords and play songs. And from there, I morphed into Beatles, of course, John Lennon. In particular, he was always my favorite Beatle, you know, favorite guy.
Yeah. And now, what do you think of his legacy? I mean, in terms of influencing the current and future generations, I mean, you think, going back again to the earliest stuff in particular tonight, I mean, do you see it as being vital and something that kids should know about?
Well, it's gonna have a life of its own. It's gonna, as long as there are people playing music, and you hear it all the time. I mean, you hear the influences in each generation. Kurt Cobain, you know, going back to the 80s, on and on. I mean, a lot of the folk rock music that you hear today, some of the really good young folk rockers, you know, Mumford and Son and the Abbott Brothers and on and on. I mean, keep in mind, Lennon and McCartney sequestered in their hotel rooms or before they even got a deal, sitting on Aunt Mimi's couch or whatever, in the edge of their beds, you know, just playing acoustic guitars. And that's the foundation for so many of their songs, even on record.
Mm-hmm.
So, the basic strip it all away songs and the amazing chording that they used and the original sound that they had and the intensity of which they approached every song, that's the kind of stuff that is as important as the actual song itself. It's the way that they just left everything out on nothing, no half-hearted efforts whatsoever, and they just bled from every pore, you know, when they were singing and emoting, and that was and that's the thing I remember about Meet the Beatles and the first the first songs were how intense they were and how riveting and emotive and all of those things. I mean, it just grabbed you, and of course it lifted us all out of the doldrums of the Kennedy assassination.
Mm-hmm.
And it just seemed like they all of a sudden were dancing down the yellow brick road and, you know, in full Technicolor. It was really an extraordinary time.
Well, we thank you so much for your comments. And how about the Newtopians? Just everything coming up?
Well, not in your immediate area, but, if people would check out newtopians.com, that's Newtopians. Then our tour schedule is on there. We will be playing at the Beatle Fest in February, and I'm pretty sure City Winery on February 9th, the day that the Beatles debuted, 50 years to the day that they debuted on Ed Sullivan. So,
okay, no, those are both in New York City, right?
Yes, both
okay.
In New York City. This, and we've just made this record. And we hope that people will think of us synonymous you know, Lee, with the great, great John Lennon. There was no more important artist in my lifetime than John Lennon.
Okay. Well, again, thanks for your thoughts. We appreciate that very much.
Yeah, my pleasure. Thanks for asking me.
Okay. So, we have an answer. Oh, no, actually, we did not get an answer to the trivia question, but I'm going to give you the answer. The question is, where were the Beatles on the day Meet the Beatles was released in the United States? And the answer is that they had two shows to do at Olympia Theater in Paris. So that's where they were, at Olympia Theater in Paris, doing two shows. Just 2 days before that, they had heard the news that I Want to Hold Your Hand was the number one single in the United States, which was lucky because they were on their way to the United States. And they'd arrive here on the 7th, play Ed Sullivan on the 9th, the Washington Coliseum on the 11th, and the rest, as they say, is history. Say, we're going to just take a super, super brief station break, and then we're going to talk to Glenn Burtnick. So let me cue it up.
91.9 WNTI.
Okay, we have Glenn Burtnick on the line. And Glenn, of course, was a cast member of Beatlemania, and you might know him from Styx, and is currently in a, is it accurate to say, a Beatles tribute band?
I'm in a lot of things, but yeah, I guess I'm in a couple of Beatles tribute bands. Yeah, there's a band called Liverpool that I perform with at the Beatles Fest, which is a convention that happens a few times a year in different places throughout these states. And I do my own productions every year of recreating Beatle albums.
Okay. And the album we're really featuring tonight is Meet the Beatles. And you were, of course, like me, of age to have experienced when that album first came out. I mean, did you hear it like... Right out of the gate, or did it come along a little bit later?
Well, no, I didn't hear right out of the gate. You know, it kind of snuck into, you know, I mean, first of all, buying albums was a really difficult thing back then. It was like, you know, I was about 8 years old or so, nine, and you could buy singles a lot more easily at the local drugstore, you know, but albums were like a major purchase in my life, at least. And I think a lot of people, albums were like a big investment, even though when you look back at the prices, it's kind of interesting. But I certainly had seen the Beatles on Ed Sullivan and was freaked out by the music. You know, the She Loves You is the first single I bought, but definitely I Want to Hold Your Hand was the big one. And that was, you know, track one, side one, if I'm not mistaken, of Meet the Beatles.
Yeah, right. I remember it. I mean, I was just a little bit younger, just a few years younger, but I remember it being the first album that I would really listen to, because before that, albums were more or less, you know, one or two or three singles and then a lot of filler, I guess. But Meet the Beatles was just from front to back was just one great song after the other.
Very strong. Yeah, yeah. Right from the get, they were very strong. Yeah, it's a great album. Meet the Beatles was the first big American Beatles release as an album, and it certainly is huge. It left a shadow that has cast all the way 50 years later, or whatever it is, 45, 50 years later.
Right, yeah, right. 50. And you've done, you've of course had a pretty diverse career. I mean, you've written some hit songs, including you know, one of the biggest hits for Styx, and were with that band for a couple of years. Obviously, there's an awful lot of other groups that have been an influence,
well,
but how would you put the
Beatles
in there?
Yeah, I mean, it was just so so important. And I've always, as a songwriter, I've kind of looked to them as the template. You know, like they kind of showed me how to write a pop song, you know. And I mean, there's other ways to do it, but they pretty much explored all of the you know, parameters, all of the possibilities, you know, in terms of how to write a pop song. So it was kind of educational growing up listening to them. I mean, there were other ways to do it. There's Bob Dylan, and there's, you know, and there's some, you know, there's some of the more exploratory stuff. But the Beatles were very exploratory, you know. So for the most part, not only did I always want to be a Beatle and, you know, be a cool guy in a cool band and all of that. But they pretty much just showed me how to write a solid piece of pop music.
Mm-hmm. Now, all these years later, well, I have to confess to you that I've heard about the Beatle Fest, but I always thought of it as like a probably like a Star Trek convention or something. Had no interest in it, but I finally went a couple of years ago. And of course, you know Liverpool, of course, played, but you know I didn't remember who some of the guests were. And then last year again, to me, it's become actually an important event with me. It's coming. What is it? This February, I think it is, in New York City.
Yes. It's the weekend of the 50th anniversary of them on Ed Sullivan, I believe. Yeah, February 3rd, and I think it's like the first, second, and third or something like that in Manhattan. Yeah.
Yeah, so that's going to be a really special version of it. And, of course, Liverpool will be playing. And I know you always do a big send-up on Sunday night, I think it is, with all the the various guests that are there performing with you. That's going to happen again this year?
Absolutely, yeah. Okay. There's a lot of good guests too. It's been great fun for me interacting with and playing with these guys that have worked with the Beatles.
If you look at today's music, it seems like a little bit less and less there's a direct influence, but there's certainly an indirect influence from the Beatles to everything that's going on today. It would seem to me.
You know, I see the band as a big influence right now. A lot of bands that are kind of dressing up like farmers and growing beards and playing like folky music, and I kind of see that as the band was kind of the start of that stuff, and the band certainly came from the 60s, and I think the band was a reaction to the Beatles,
Mm-hmm.
I think everybody was a reaction to the Beatles in popular music in the 60s, I think that when Meet the Beatles came out, from everything there on, everyone kept an eye on what the new Beatle release would be.
Exactly.
And, yeah.
Yeah. Well, another thing that they did was they created this trend of writing your own songs. I mean, Meet the Beatles, I think, except for one song, was all Lennon, McCartney, or Harrison compositions.
Yeah, absolutely. They did change a lot, They also, if I'm not mistaken, when Sid Bernstein brought them to, Shea Stadium, I believe that was the first, stadium concert of a rock band, So there were a lot of things that they kind of, changed. Even the artwork, once they released Sgt. Pepper's Lonely Hearts Club Band, that kind of created this new world of album cover art, which sadly is a kind of a dead art form now because music now is like a little file that, you put on your computer. But back in that era, the Beatles changed the way everybody had to have like a very beautiful, thought-out album cover, that they created. And, not to mention men's hairstyles changed,
Mm-hmm.
Even fashion, the fashion industry started to kind of open up a little bit more as to how men would dress. And, they really cast a shadow.
Yeah. So their influence continues. I'll be looking forward to Beatlefest this year. How would we, by the way, get tickets for that? I guess it's on Beatlefest.com?
Actually, it's the Fest for Beatles Fans. .com.
Right, they changed the name. That's right.
Yeah, Fest for Beatles Fans. So just I would Google Fest for Beatles Fans, and you'd get it. And it'll be a fun. It'll definitely be a fun time in Manhattan this time, and celebrating the birth of the Beatles, you might say.
Right. Yeah, especially because of it coinciding with the 50th anniversary of their first appearance on the Ed Sullivan Show. So we're looking forward to that. And we're looking forward to seeing Liverpool and all the other artists at Beatlefest and everything else that's coming down the pike. So we thank you for being with us today, Glenn.
Cool. Thank you.
Okay. So what an evening we've had, hey? Played the whole Meet the Beatles album, the 50th anniversary of the release of that on Capitol Records. We heard from Marshall Crenshaw, from Rex Fowler, and then Glenn Burtnick. What an evening, huh? All here on The Cavern at 91.9 WNTI. Let me tell you what's coming up next. Next, we're going to hear E-Town with guests Laura Marling and Phosphorescent. And after that, Mike the Hippie with the Midweek Jam. And after that, of course, Keller Cellar as Keller Williams takes us into the wee hours of the morning. But I also want to tell you, of course, next week we're going to do the 1979 Beatles radio experience. And then on February 5th, that whole week is going to be a special week on all kinds of radio stations and TV shows, because it's going to be February 9th is the 50th anniversary of the Beatles' first appearance on the Ed Sullivan Show, first appearance on the United States television. So we are going to be doing something February 5th, that Wednesday night. We are going to be playing that performance, but also we're going to be taking calls from you. As you call in and tell us about your experiences, where you were you watching them, anything you want to say about the Beatles on the Ed Sullivan Show during that time period. And so that's going to be something we're really, really looking forward to. And we'll tell you more about it as the time approaches. But meanwhile, this has been
member-supported 91.9 WNTI Hackettstown.
And worldwide at WNTI.org.
Public radio from Centenary College.